I could see you before the lights came on. Praise God. Are you ready to worship the Lord this morning or this evening? I'm going to be saying good morning at night until I die. You watch. It's just a habit. How many of you are excited about what God's doing? Amen. Amen. Me too. Praise God. Praise God. And what I want you to do, God's been showing up. God's been showing up and meeting people where they're at. So what I just encourage you to do tonight is get with him. You have something that you want to do with him, get with him. You want more of him, get before him tonight. You need something from him, let's just praise him and thank him for what he's done so far for you. Amen? Amen. Let's just get before his presence tonight. And we're excited for all you that still visited boot camp while the fair is going on. We kind of wondered how this would go tonight. Amen? Amen. But let's just, we want to welcome all the live streamers. Are we good? Are we on? Welcome all the live streamers. We just invite you to worship and praise with us tonight. Get before his throne. It doesn't matter. God's not moved by space, right? He's not chained down that you have to be here. We want you here. You should be here. But if you're joining us on live stream, God's still going to come through that phone or that computer, whatever you're on, the camera for us, but he's still going to come through and he's going to show himself strong in your life. Amen. Amen. So let's worship him tonight.
Jesus. take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Mass empty prayer.
Jesus, nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn great into God. You turn bones into army. You turn seas into high.
We're the shame you've turned into glory. We're the ones you split the sea for. And you've made ways in our lives that we've not seen or knew how to get out of, but you made a way. When there seemed to be no way, God, you made the way. And Lord God, we just take a moment tonight to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the provision. Thank you for not only the physical healings, but emotional healings. Thank you that you have broken off chains out of our lives. Thank you that you have made us a new creature in Christ. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus for our lives. Thank you that because of everything you've done, we get to spend eternity in heaven with you. Or we get to spend eternity with you. We're so grateful. And we just wanted to take the time to say thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Give her mercy, oh my, in time of need. Lord, I can't help but say, faithful you are. Faithful you are. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Savior, you have brought me near. You pulled me from the ashes. You have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free.
Coming up, where are we at? We're in September, right? Okay. So we've got a women's meeting after service. that if you're going to help with the meetings conference that we've got coming up in October, we're going to have a meeting after service this Sunday. Next Sunday will be our baby celebration, since we didn't get to have the baby shower for the baby and for Sharon and Steve. And that's co-ed. It's all co-ed. So next Sunday, just after service, if you want to bring something, we're going to eat together, we're going to fellowship, and just celebrate, amen, that baby, amen. And then we have Christy Amico is going to be with us on September 30th, which is Thursday night here at 7. He'll be with us again Friday night at 7, and then he'll be joining us Sunday morning at 10. So that's going to be exciting. And then we have a chili cook-off next month. I want to say October 10th, but I don't have a thing in front of me. The 8th? Okay, because I was thinking it was tomorrow night. I told Phil, oh, no, we got that chili cook-off tomorrow night, but it's next month. Thanks. So we do have intercessory prayer here on Wednesdays at, is it 5 or 5:30? I thought so. Phil and I had a discussion. So 5 o'clock. So we're excited about that. And I think, yes, but that's okay. Trying to get the announcements in real quick before you get here, or while you're getting here, Mr. On Time. Amen. That's Faith speaking.
Amen.
Amen. What, yes, the Women's Conference, such a time as this, Queens of the Kingdom, will be here. I don't know who that is. Trey will have to tell us. But we'll be October 16th here at the church. Starts at 9 o'clock. We'll go till about 2:33, whatever the Lord wants to do. Amen. There will be a meal for the women, so we're going to put up soon. We're just waiting for a picture of one of our guest speakers. But our guest speakers that day are going to be Pastor Alicia Turner from Lighthouse and Cary. Amen. And then Pastor Nicole Waters, obviously from our Bodkins campus of Only Believe.
Hold on.
I'll be here too. Pastor Regina Walker will be here too. That's our lineup.
I thank God for Catherine Coleman. I thank God for Amy Simmel McPherson. I thank God for the Marys, the Esthers. I thank God for all of them who carried the mantle. I know she doesn't like when I do this, but I told you before that one day I was praying for my wife, and I said, God, I really want to love my wife. And he said, okay. He said, you have to let her go. I said, let her go? I ain't letting go of my wife. He said, what I mean is, you have to love her for who I made her to be, not just for who you see her as your wife and the mother of your handsome son. And all of a sudden, he showed me a picture of my little sweetie walking like the tender little face, smiley girl she is. But she was in all white, and she caught on fire. And I'm telling you, she was just a burning flame. And I'm telling you, when she moved or when she spoke or sometimes just when she walked, there was these dark forms all around, just dark forms. They looked like the shape of people, but they were just a shadow. And all of a sudden, fire would shoot out from her, and they would pop alive. There were some men, there were some children, but there was a ton of women that popped alive. And I tell you what, she's going to get mad at me later, and I'm going to be in trouble. But she is going to be the anchor speaker for the women's conference, because this is the city of authority that God put her here to maximize who she is, because what's in her needs to touch the lives of the ladies in this region.
We're done.
Okay, I think I better quit talking. All right, baby.
Amen. I think that's all the announcements, babe. You can.
Amen.
As long as you're offering.
Praise God. Did anybody have anything extraordinary happen to them this week that they just know was God doing something? Because now it has to be because you've pressed in, you've prayed, you've asked God for something. Did anybody have anything happen? Did you get promoted? Did you get a bonus? Did someone give you money? Did you get healed? Did someone call and say, hey, I'm sorry, we've been fighting, and da-da-da-da-da. Anything at all for anybody?
Right there.
Where? Praise God. Come on up here, honey. Let her give.
I'll just go back.
Okay, you go back there.
I got a job, and I went, as soon as I got it, they hired me on the spot, and I didn't like it at first, and I hadn't been working this week, and I'm like, if they're going to make, I asked them yesterday, I said, do I have to work Thursdays and Sundays? I said, if I do, then just let me go, because I don't want to waste your time or my time, and I prayed all the way there, and I said, God, if this is a job for me, I won't have to work on Sunday. And I don't have to work on Sunday, and I don't have, I get off at 4 on Thursday.
Woo! Ah! Woo! Okay, now, she just gave me a confirmation of what I get to speak about tonight. So you better hang on to your bootstraps. And if you didn't wear your, we're in boot camp, so if you didn't wear your hard-toed army lace-up boots tonight, don't make that mistake again for the rest of this month. Amen? Praise God. What a beautiful test. Girl, you got me fired up. I'm ready to go. Okay, we better let the children go. Amen. Praise God. See, I feel blessed tonight. Mm-hmm. Tonight, I'm probably going to reference some stories that I'm going to make you go and dig out. I don't know if I'm even going to give you where they are in Scripture, because I want you to go dig them out. But, but the first thing I want to do is I want to get ready to take up the offering tonight. And I just want to remind you of something that's very powerful. And I want to look at the book of Acts, chapter 4. And it says in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or homes, houses, sold them. Now, first of all, I want you to see something. It says possessors of lands and houses, not a land or a house. Like real estate today is a big market, right? People in real estate buy and sell and do stuff. So I want to make sure that we read the scripture in context, because I don't want any goofy doctrine in this place. I don't want you to go home and sell your van or your house or anything and say, well, Pastor said I should sell my house to be able to help other people in life. No, this is talking about businessmen and women at the time who were functioning within that system, and the spirit of administration upon them caused them to say, I have so much more wealth than I can spend on myself. I'm going to take this portion of my wealth and give it to the church so that we can help people with food and all that kind of stuff that they need. We can go on missions. We can go here. We can go do that. I want you to understand something about this, because here's how you should see this scripture for yourself. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, here's what I want you to understand something. As believers, okay, like in this church, we have some needs. We want to get the kitchen done. We want to get the columns wrapped. We just have some stuff. And we got people. We're going to have meetings where we're feeding people. We're getting ready to feed the football team on the 24th. We're getting ready to have our first carry-in meal here, which is just going to be a carry-in of everybody bringing stuff in on October 3rd when Christy Amico's with us. And I want you to know something, that I want you to start praying, and I do not want you to sell your home. I do not want you to sell your car and come give them money into the offering. But what I do want you to do, and someone just gave me this experience, so I knew it was the time to teach this in the church. I had someone come up to me and they said, hey, we were going to get rid of something at a certain price, but instead of this, we got this. So I want to give this amount of the extra to the church so you guys can do with it what you want. Now, I want you to know something. I believe that many of you are going to sell things, buy things. You're going to have bonuses come. You're going to have stuff happen. And I want you to keep that for your family, pay your bills, and do all that. But say like me. Say I was planning on spending $500 on something, and I prayed, and God led me to a store where I walked in and had 500 bucks, and the item I had was only 300. Then right away, I got a reverence for God. And I'm going to take that 200, and I'm going to decide, hey, is this for me to give to someone? Is this for me to pay a bill to alleviate some things? Or is a part of this for me to give into the church because God blessed me? And I really want you to start thinking that way, because that's how a believer should be thinking. So if you go to buy a house or sell a house and you were planning on getting the maximum of 100 grand and you got $120,000, first of all, tithe. Second of all, make sure that you take that money and you don't blow it, but you let God pray you through. Is there bills we should pay? Is there this? Does God want me to help somebody, maybe in your family or a neighbor or something? Just start making sure that you don't do anything on your own strength and on your own. And don't think that something of great favor happens to you by happenstance, because Psalm 75, 6 through 7 says, promotion only comes from one place, and where's that? God. Just like we had that beautiful testimony. I mean, think about it. She's praying and saying, I'm willing to walk away from a good job if I have to work Sundays and Thursdays. And look what God did. Now I'm going to let that seed you. We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord. And I want you to be thinking about these things. And it may not be that you should bring your money to the church, but it could be that God puts... I was teaching this one time years ago, and a man came to me and he said, you know what? We were praying for our uncle to get brand new teeth. We were praying for God to heal him. He said, I thank God for your teaching. He said, because after your message, he said, we sold something and made $1,000 extra. He said, and I went to see my uncle and found out that his teeth needed $800 to be replaced. He said, God gave us a miracle. So I want you to, I'm not telling you to bring your money to the church. I'm telling you that when things happen, prayerfully see what God will direct you. Now, sometimes God is, I mean, that's what he did to me and Regina. There's been oftentimes that we give more than our tithe and our regular offering. I got to tell on her. The other day, we were at a church service, wasn't even here. And all of a sudden she just said, honey, everything I got in my purse, I got to give an offering. I said, amen, baby. And it wasn't just $20. Just, we were someplace last night or the day before. And I went somewhere. I know she doesn't want me to tell this because she loves it, that the left hand doesn't always know what the right hand's doing. And she won't like this later, Shane, so pray for me. But we were somewhere out with other ministers and stuff, and all of a sudden, I came out of the bathroom or the back talking. You know how I am. I mean, I was being quiet and everything. But I'm in the back running my mouth to the owner there, and we're just running our mouth. And I come out, and Regina's purse was sitting in the chair, and we were always walking out. And I oftentimes carry her purse at the restaurant, at the store, if we're at the mall, and she has lots of stuff in there, so sometimes if she gets tired, I'll carry her purse. So I came running out, and I said, she said, come on, let's go, it's time to go. And I said, okay, baby, I'm going to grab your purse. And they said, no, that's not her purse anymore. and she had given her birthday present purse to somebody. And I tell you what, that didn't cost me $2. So here's what I want you to know. I do not talk like this I'm talking like this because I really want you to be a people of faith, fury, and fire. I want you to be people of love, compassion, and kindness, but I want you to be people that are so stinking mad at the devil that you're aware of his torment on people every day, you're aware of his torment on you every day, and you're aware and ready to fight. Can I get an amen? Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you just put your hand of blessing upon your people, Father. Lord, they're giving up everything to pursue you, God. And because of it, God, you are blessing them, God. And God, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Promises, my confidence.
To know something, everybody here has been given birth by God in this time. If I were to look at how Logan started, praise God, or if I were to look at how any of us started, we would have to know that the journey for all of us to arrive right here in the epicenter of the will of God, the metropolitan place, the most popular, powerful city in, I believe, Ohio and all this northern region. Hey, hallelujah. Praise God. It's unique and divine that we ended up here. Now, I got to tell you something. I've been wanting to get to our sacred weapons of warfare because they're precious and they're not carnal. And I thought tonight was the night, man. Telling you, I was ready to go. But I want you to know that there's a time in the Bible where the Lord said to David, David, go and encamp yourself, but don't move until you see a rustling in the mulberry trees. He said, now it's going to be still everywhere else, but when you see a rustling in the mulberry trees, you will know that you have been obedient, you're with me, and I want you to execute right then. He had to tell David when to restrain himself because David was a man of war. He didn't wait for nothing, did he? Remember when Goliath had the nerve to stand up there and David said, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? Of course, he had just got done dealing with the bear and the lion over a sheep. If this dude would die for a sheep, can you imagine how frustrated he was to see a big giant touching God's people and causing them to be in fear? See, one thing I wonder about us is when we see torment going on, when we see hardship happen, when we see wrong happen right in front of us, I got to tell you something. Me and my sweetie pie was coming to town today, and there was a man out there working hard, you know, probably a self-employed person and just out there working hard, and I don't know what they were pulling or anything, but they had a big trailer on their vehicle. And we're coming up 68, coming into town, and they tried to make a turn, and they hit a couple trash cans and recycle bins that were full and just knocked them over in someone's yard. And I don't think they even saw what they did. I mean, it was just two trash cans on a big trailer that's 30 foot long. That guy probably didn't even feel a bump. But anyhow, I just happened to be right there. So we pull in, and I set those trash cans up, and I put that in there. And the Lord told me, he said, Philip, thank you. He said, the people that live in this house have had a lot of stuff going on, and I'm praying for them. I have people praying for them. He said, but you know that when you're in the heat of battle, the slightest thing can set you off. He said, I don't need a single mother whose son is sick. And I don't know that that was her. But he said, but I don't need a single mother whose son is sick or an older woman whose husband's battling sickness and coming home after a long, tired day and seeing trash spilled all over the yard because I know the cats would get in it, the dogs would get in it, and nobody needs to come home after a stressful day and just see that. And it took me 30 seconds. All we did was pull up, pick it up. Now, I did stink a little bit when I got in the car. That wasn't good. But thank God Miss Regina found some wet wipes and I could clean up my hands. And we got out to our next appointment and shook hands with a clean hand. I just want us to truly be people that are just reverencing towards people. Listen, God says he has so many thoughts of us that it's more than the sand. Not the sand on a beach. The sand around the world. We could go out to the Sahara Desert. I thought about this one day, but my sweetie pie wouldn't let me get away with it. But I should say, honey, I want to go on a faith journey to discover how much thoughts God had, so I need to get a good look at the sand. And I thought, I could fly to the Sahara, and then I could fly to this one, I could fly to this one. And I could tell her, honey, I'm only doing this to learn by faith what God wants us to do. And she'll say, get over here. Look at a map and let me get you on the internet. I'll show you some pictures from over there for right here in this house for 5 minutes and 5 seconds. It'll cost us nothing. You ain't spending money. But that's why she's like, that's why I need her. Because I'm a nutcase. I'll spend money in a New York second. I got to be honest with you. Honey, what was it? A couple weeks ago? I had some money. And it wasn't a lot, thank God. But I got to own up to the fact that if I have cash money, it don't last long. Because I think, you know, I see needs, I want to meet it. But that's biblical. The Bible says that I should have to give to every good work. And my sweetie says sometimes you got to wait to make sure the bills are paid and that you do have extra to give to every good work. Hallelujah. But anyhow, what I want to tell you guys is if God has more thoughts than the sand, why can't we take a few minutes to think beyond just something that quick? If we see something bad going on, why wouldn't we want to stop and take a few minutes to see if we could help out? I mean, I thank God that those people are going to get home and never even know their trash bins were knocked over. And if someone was sick, stressful, feeling with anxiety already, thank God that we helped avoid putting anything else on them. Amen. Because I know that you strong Christians don't, but I have seen people in the world, and I'm telling you, a bucket of water falling over could just shake them and break them down and cause depression. You never know. I was going to save this till after live stream, but I might as well just say it now. We have a beautiful couple here, and how long has your first wife, Holly, been gone? 15 years. Three portions of God's grace. And who's this wonderful young lady sitting by you? Judy. Wow. Amen.
He says that kind of
funny. Yeah. Oh, he's got Judaitis already. Y'all know when he's joined the club. They haven't been, you know, they're not married yet, but they're going to be in just a little bit, because as soon as we finish this teaching, we're going to pull them up here and do a wedding ceremony tonight. But he was talking to me on the phone, and he said, Pastor Phil, I think I found someone. I said, nope, you don't got to think anymore. You did, because the voice was already changed. Hallelujah. But listen to this. I want to keep you guys here, because I know you forgot from last week what these services are going to be called on Thursday night, but we call them boot camp first. But the title of the sermon tonight and for the next couple weeks, you ought to love it. Fight! Just one word. Fight! Can you say it with me? Fight! Fight! Say it like you mean it. Fight! Woo! Oh, I felt that one. Woo! Now listen to me. The reason why I'm telling you that is because I just want to read a couple scriptures here. And then I want to go back to where we were last week about resisting the devil, and I want to share a few insights for you, and then we're going to get ready to do a little wedding. But first of all, this is what the Bible says, not me. Say, this isn't Pastor Phil. This is the Word of God. So what we're going to do is we're just going to look at a couple places in the Bible. And the first place I want to go to is, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, and I want to see something. It says verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. One thing we're going to get to when we talk about the Holy Ghost is purity equals power. Without holiness, no man can see God. And some doctrinal denominations teach that that's only when you get to heaven you're covered by the blood. No, no, no. Let me tell you something. You are going to have a level of purity in your life on a daily basis where you are not attached to carnal outward things in order for you to have the power of God protecting, keeping, and bringing miracles into your life on this earth. Without holiness, no man can see God. That's why when you're going through your terrible fits and you're not seeking God and you're not putting the word in you, and then you get to cussing and fussing and fighting and then you get all bound up, I want you to know something. The heavens are dry and you're not going to see anything because God cannot put approval on mess. Say amen. Amen. That's good teaching. I want you to know something, that I have went to people's homes, good friends of mine, men I've known, and I had a man call me one day and he said, Pastor Phil, Brother Phil, I need you to come and pray with me. And I tell you what, I got to his house, and I'm not ever going to say his name so you're not going to ever know. But I got to his house and I had been on a fast. And his house stunk like sex. Amen. Some of you probably don't know what that smells like, but unfortunately, as a little boy, I was in Cleveland and different places, and I didn't know when we were going with these boys to pick up drugs and stuff that we were in places where all kinds of stuff was going on. One time I was outside and a man got shot in the stomach. After that, I love shoot 'em up movies. But when that man got shot in front of me in the stomach, everything in him got burnt and you smelled it. His intestines, what was in his guts being processed to come out here was coming out here. The acidy smells. You ever throw up? Does it smell good? Imagine that on fire from a bullet. It made me so sick that I couldn't even watch. Now, why am I talking about this? Because I want you to know that your enemy is a dirty, stinking, rotten devil dog, and you can't afford to let one border of your garment or your house down to let him in, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He hates your guts. He's mad every day. It's the devil looking at you. And sometimes people act like they're suffering through sickness and anxiety and stuff because God's trying to show them something. That is absolute trash. The Bible says only good and perfect gift cometh down from heaven. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Can you tell me in anything I just taught you where you can see death, suffering, and sickness is the will of God? Well, I just wonder if this is on me because I'm suffering for Jesus. No, if you're going to suffer for Jesus, I'm going to teach you that next week. That's in Acts chapter 5. That's when they came worshiping because they got beat for living so high on the hog in heavenly ways that they were casting out devils, they were speaking about Jesus, and they had so much authority on them, Shane, that they whipped them boys and cut them and hurt them and said, now you can leave here, but you don't go preaching in the name of Jesus. And they snuck out and said, whew, shall we obey men or God? And they went and told everybody how they had been hurt for the Lord the right way. Suffering sickness and disease, broken households, fears, stresses, children living outside of God is not you suffering for Jesus. Stop it. Stop letting the devil control you. Well, my husband's perversion, I'm probably suffering for Jesus. No, you're suffering because your husband needs to put his pants on like a man, stand up, go pray, and get that stuff off of him. Stop it. Now, I love you. I'm not telling you every time you have trouble to run out the door with a husband or wife that's struggling. But what I'm saying is take it to the spirit realm. Quit calling people and uncovering nakedness and whining about what's going on. Get yourself in prayer and let God give you some direction and follow what God says. I tell you what, I love you, but I'm going to go one step farther. How can you be fasting, praying, or even giving your tithe and sowing seed with a bunch of sin in your life? Amen. If you're going to be a hypocrite, you might as well keep your money. Now, if you're going to truly try to change, sow your money. But if you're going to be a hypocrite, the Bible says, God says, I would that you were cold or hot. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. What does that mean? If you have a big percentage of sin in your life, you're not going to be received by God. Because whether you like it or not, the blood of Jesus is such a supernatural, life-giving gift. It crushes sin out of you if you will read the word, fast, and pray, and allow God to change you. Are we okay? Doesn't matter. If you're mad at me, I love you. But I'm not going to stop preaching the word. I'm not ever going to purposely try to hurt your feelings. And I will say this 1,000 times. As a man just like you are, I'm trying to get better and better with what I do, serving God, preaching, pastoring. I'm trying to become more kind, more loving, but at the same time, I'm going to be firmer than I've ever been because I have to follow Jesus and the apostles. I mean, honestly, if some of the things the apostles did today, we wouldn't have a church. I mean, Paul looked at somebody behind him that was saying, these are the men that speak of the Most High God. These are the men that speak of the Most High God. But he discerned that somehow there was uncleanness in her life, and he cursed that thing and dealt with her. People would be sitting there, how could he talk to her that way? She was saying, these are the men that serve God. There's another time where a man was following the disciples only to get the power they had to deal with darkness. And he said, this Holy Ghost you got, how can I buy that? And not only did Paul say, get away from me, he cursed him with blindness. Huh. Boy, you guys would call me a heretic if someone was trying to get at the Holy Ghost wrongfully, and I said, you're going to be blind for a season till you wake up out of that trash. But guess why Paul had that authority? Because in order to wake him up out of his mess, he had to go blind. Remember? So Paul was able to discern the mess that was in somebody else because the mess that came up out of him. Sometimes you guys think I can read your mail and you say, how can he read my mail? Because he lives right. I didn't used to. Coming up here trying to lie to me and lead me this way and that way. And I'm not being mean. People are just people. We try to hide stuff sometimes. Don't do it. Come clean. The Bible says confess your faults one another. The most powerful thing you can do is be transparent with the King, and he will help you. Amen. See, don't come to me and ask me to help you save your family and your marriage and everything if you're still in pornography and everything else. Now, if you've repented of those things, and those things have brought your marriage to a difficult place, but you have repented, and you're trying to work out and not do those things, then I'm all in. We can run the race and restore and heal and set free. But you can't come and say, oh, I need you to pray and save my marriage, and then go back to the house alone and get back on Porn Star or whatever it is. Oh, that was Pawn Star. No, but I'm being serious. And listen, I'm not afraid to get real with you because there are real things going on in people's lives. And they need to know that if I truly ask Christ Jesus into my heart, with these bad things going on, eventually reading the Word of God will set me so free that I'll get out of that stuff. Now, are you ready for what I want to tell you tonight? The Bible says Resist the devil and he will flee. And the first thing I want to tell you is, what does it mean to resist? Woo! Woo! Amen. Come on. Out of the mouths of babes. Let that baby teach you a little something tonight. What does it mean to resist? It means to tolerate, put up with, and endure harsh hits. Violent actions against you that may draw blood, that may hurt you, that may cause you to be injured, but even in the middle of your injury, you're going to endure, you're going to undergo, you're going to tolerate, you're going to stand strong because you're not going to give up. And before you know it, that enemy's going to give you an angle and you're going to hack, stick, fight, and hit back. Woo! Not in the natural. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I tell you what, sometimes it's so frustrating in the church because people will go to jobs, break bones. I mean, I look at some of these crazy farmers falling off of buildings, cows running into them, getting speared, getting cut. I've seen them almost slice their hand off, put bandages in it, wrap it up, and go right back to work. But let them come to church, and the first time you're busy and you don't shake their hand, they puff up like little girl cakes and run outside the church. That's not a proper term. I repent, and my baby's going to yell at me later. I'm not allowed to say that men puff up like little girl cakes, so I apologize. But it's still true. Now, honestly, no, think about what we went through to play sports. Puking, Charlie horse, and wrapping up. I think back, how many times were you playing basketball? Wrap me up. Wrap that ankle and let me back in. But all of a sudden, you sing off key and you quit the choir. You walk in on a Sunday morning and Sister Sally and Patty talks to you, but Sister Debbie doesn't because, oh, by the way, she's discouraged and her sons ran away on drugs and you don't know it. And she has a sad countenance. Instead of you discerning by the Holy Ghost what you can do to encourage her, you say, look at this Sister Debbie over there. She probably don't like my pants. She probably don't like, which are too tight anyway. She don't like my tank top. What are you doing wearing a tank top in church? Modesty. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost. Okay, I better back. This is Boot Camp Thursday. If you don't like it, I ain't changing it. I got to give you what God did. Listen, we only have a short season to strengthen ourselves back up. In the military, in boot camp, they give you an urgency to train. Why? Because they never know if we only have these young men and women for a month and they go to war, we got to put as much in them as possible. Fight! Come on. We got to be ready. Satan does not play games. Just this week, someone called me because their daughter let a guy move in. They're having relationships they shouldn't have. They're not married. Didn't even know this guy very long. The woman's working and the bum's not. The son of Belial's not working. The Bible says that a man that shall not work shall not eat. And the Bible, which this is our Sunday sermon, so I better back off of it. But the Bible also says that a man that will not provide for his home is worse than an infidel. So if you're a lazy thing out there and you went and got a praying woman wrongfully, a woman praying in the Holy Ghost, you deceived her into marrying your weak self just because you said, I'm going to go get me one of these church women because they'll take care of a guy. And you ain't got no God in you. And just because of their low self-esteem, they married you. And your deadbeat self won't even go get a job. I'm telling you, you've cursed yourself. Amen. You got God mad at you. Amen. Oh, I know you don't like it when I say that. But God will get upset with you if you mistreat his daughter. Look at how you are. If your children get mistreated, you're frustrated. Can you imagine if God... Grandparents are really crazy. I know. Don't listen. I like to throw them around. The other day I got in trouble because, don't tell Miss Regina, but them little grandbabies talked me into it. They said, JJ, would that be anything for a little war? was trying to say helicopter, because we were watching the Paw Patrol, and one morning, early before she was out, I took a chair, and they're kind of old. They're like, they're one of the things we haven't replaced in our house, but they're wood and they're stout. They're not made like this new cardboard junk. Why didn't you get a new chair to do it? Because I don't trust this new stuff that's made so weak. But this is good stout wood, and it can hold 150 pounds. Well, I can't even get that out of my house. Okay, I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh, but it can hold me. And sometimes I'm up in the morning praying, and I'm jumping in and out of these seats. So it's not like they're so behind Miss Regina. They're in there. Grandma's in the other room. They can't even see. And I'm coming up for JJ, and he says, and I said, what? I said, do you mean Paw Patrol? He said, yeah, yeah, Paw Patrol. And he sits down and I, and he holds on, and they love it. And then little Emma says, Grandpa. And I said, okay, Emma, but don't. I said, don't tell Mommy and Daddy, and don't tell Grandma. And so I give him a... And I set it down quietly. And then they come in and say, Grandpa's making us up. It's over, Grandpa. So us grandparents, we'll do anything. Can you imagine God after all these generations? See, we wonder why Christ is going to come back. Because as wickedness abounds, and as we move away from God, and safety in our nations go down, and wickedness comes up. I didn't even finish telling you this story. But this poor girl had this guy in her house for a month, was going to work. He's dealing with her three-year-old child. And guess what? He gets frustrated and kills it. Guess what I find out? This is a Holy Ghost-filled girl who'd been in church her whole life, went through a bad relationship, left the church, and let a dude move into her house from the world. And here's where we end up. This is why I preach the way I do, people. It's time for us to stop the madness and get back to the gladness, which is only found in the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Boy, next time I'm going to have to quit extending worship so I can preach a little bit. But listen to this. Here's what I want you to know. Why is it so critical for us to resist the devil? Because first of all, anytime you make an advancement in God, the devil's going to be your reward. When people tell me, oh, Pastor, this has been the worst week of my life, this is going on, what they don't know is I'm looking at how strong they've grown. I mean, these are people that have given up cussing and drinking. These are people that said, okay, I stopped cussing out loud, but in my mind, I still think bad of people. I still think they're worthless. I still get frustrated. I'm going to start removing those thoughts. Now you know why your week's so hard. Because you start removing all those thoughts, and before you know it, you'll see the same people you used to hate. They'll come into the shop where you work, and you'll say, Father, I'm starting to pray for him right now. Lord, even before he gets to this counter to talk to me, you're going to turn his life around. Oh, see? Now listen to me. I'm telling you something. The minute you resist the devil, most Christians say, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I don't know, I know why. Hello? You just checked every box as the why. Okay. If anybody should have the right experience, it's Jesus, right? Okay. When he lived so holy that he was fasting and praying and no sin was found in him, and it impressed God so much that he opened up the heavenlies and said, this is my dear son in whom I'm well pleased. What happened immediately? Did they throw a party? Did they say, ooh, Jesus, the Son of God? Did they rejoice like we do in the natural? See, that's your problem. When Ohio State wins the football, we cheer and shout, and nobody goes and gets back at it except for those teams. Have you ever noticed that you'll talk to those coaches after a big win and they'll say, hey, tonight we'll celebrate this win, but we did this wrong, we did this wrong, and as soon as this is over, I'm going to let the guys celebrate a little bit. But even tonight, we're going to start watching film. Sometimes people think I'm weird because I'll go home after a Sunday service and I will stay up. Why? I want to get a download from God. I want to hear, if a miracle happened, why did it happen? If one didn't happen, why didn't it happen? What did I preach? What did I say? Did I do what you needed me to do? Did I at least do my part? And sometimes the Lord will reveal to me, yeah, in this case, even though that person said you could pray, they were had such resistance up toward you, they had nothing to do with what you wanted to do. Now listen to me. The minute Jesus was perfectly where he should be without sin, so much that the heavens opened and God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately he was in the wilderness and the devil put his power on him more than he ever had. King David one time was heading into battle and he had served the Philippine king. And all of a sudden, David's heading in and the king said, David, stop, you can't go with us. Why? Because people feel like as soon as you start fighting against Israel, you're going to switch sides and fight against us. Probably would have happened. And the king said, David, nobody's with you. You can't go with us. And David said, King, have not I been good to you? And he said, oh, you've been more than good, David. You have been like an angel. Guess what the very next experience David had? Ziglag. People. This is why I want to prepare you in boot camp. Because when the devil comes, you can be like Christ, filled with the word and just say, Satan, it's written. Satan, it's written. Oh, by the way, I've been on a 40-day fast with God all up in me. I'm more powerful than you could ever wish to be, you little dirty dog. Get out of here. Do you know that scripture when it says resist and he will flee? It doesn't mean, come up here, Steve, please, sir. It doesn't mean that when the devil flees you, that he goes, okay, Steve, you're resisting me, so next time. No, it says, he seems like he's packing and stacking. I better run. I got a military force after me. I need to get out of here or I'm going to die and get crushed and get pulverized. And shame on us if we're too violent that we let him go and have another chance. Go ahead, brother. You ever notice that after Jesus crushed the devil, he never had a nerve to come into his presence again? Until when? Time for the cross. And guess what? That had nothing to do with the devil. It had everything to do with obedience towards God. Oh, come on. So listen to me. Quit judging yourself when resistance comes. Start celebrating. Somebody came to me just before church service and told me, man, this happened. I said, hallelujah. I said, that is the best testimony and report you've ever given me. They said, well, I knew I need to talk to you because I figured you'd say that. I said, you are exactly where you need to be. Listen, folks. The military prepares so well, and we have the best military because they know they're going to fight. God gives you the best weapons because he knows you're going to fight. Quit sitting there wondering why. Quit getting depressed and discouraged. When he comes after you, resist him and fight! Yes. Fight! Yes. You should look these words up, and I love it because now when you look up fight, it says withstand! Fight back with a... Fight. Oh, man. Fight. Be aggressive. Don't step back. Don't struggle. Take part in a violent struggle. Exchange physical strength and binds and holds and hits. Combat in a purposeful, violent conflict. Ooh. You guys ought to go say, hey, you talk about a peculiar pastor. All ours talks about is fighting and beating things up. What? You're supposed to be love. I know. You're supposed to show grace. I know. And he wants us to do all that in the natural. But when it comes to the devils, he wants us to be spiritual thugs. He wants us to pack nines. He even told me that he'd be glad if I had a big 50 caliber. I haven't seen this movie in a long time. And don't you go watch it, because it probably has too much cussing unless you got VidAngel. But I'm telling you, I want you to be a Rambo in the realm. Remember that time he was hid in the mud? Listen. One thing I love about fighting the devil is I don't have to fight fair. Woo! I used to be a Golden Gloves boxer, and when you box, you had to stay within the rules in the ring. You know, if I'm fighting the devil, it's fair, boy. Bam, pop, pop. We're supposed to be boxing. Listen, God upheld the day so Joshua could whip the devil. He broke all the rules on that day. And then when they got to him, they were wore out from 24 hours of being awake. Joshua and the dudes looked like they had 8 hours of sleep, buddy, and just came and thumped them through old beat dead there boys. Now, I'm going to turn back into my character from last week, and I'm going to play the devil. And there's a young man that got an advantage over me last week. Do you remember that? Every time I brushed up against him, seems like he could handle me. And right now, I'm going to try to grab him right where he's sitting, and I want to see if he can escape. You know, the devils are pretty accurate fighters, brother. I need a little more participation if you're going to... Oh, 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 oh! Last week, you pushed up against me, pal, and you resisted me, but I'm coming back to check your house out, because the Bible says that if your house is empty, buddy, I got a right to come back with seven twice as strong as me, and I got a right to come right back into my house. So I was bumping up against you last week, and we had a little rustle, and you did get away from me, but oh, oh, what do you got to say to me?
I curse you in Jesus' name. See, last week I let you off the hook. And stay down there, by the way. I let you off the hook last week because I didn't cast you out. But this week, I went to prayer. I went to fasting. I girded myself up. I put on my helmet of salvation. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I put on my shield of faith. I got the sword of the Spirit. So I curse you in Jesus' name. And you know what? I'm not even going to let you off. See, Jesus cursed you to the pigs. I'm not even going to let you go into the pigs. I curse you to the pits of hell where you came from. In Jesus' name.
Oh, God. What a world. What a world. What a world.
Whoa!
Now I'm in the pits of hell. And I'm talking to Satan.
I gotta be both me and Satan. You were supposed to be my strongest warrior.
Not trying to be mean, but we are the sons of rebellion and perdition. So I got no problem telling you, boss, that what happened to you when you were in heaven, you got cast out like a light. And that was before Jesus went to the cross and left these guys all filled with the Holy Ghost. Quit talking to me. You're reminding me of how terrified and weak and wimpy we really are. And once those believers curse us, we have no authority except for just go to the pit where we belong. That's why when you really see the devil, you're going to look and say, that is what tormented me all that time. But guess what's also going to be different? When you see him, you're going to be in the fullness of who you are. So even if he was bigger than you thought, you're going to be so big and full of God that he's still going to be a weak little fly that can be flipped according to the book of Luke. You look it up. With a fingertip, God gets rid of. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that when the devil encountered Shane this week, Shane didn't get all depressed and discouraged because he got attacked last week and quit reading his word. He dug into the word. He stood. He fought. He went after the word. He went after fasting. He went after the Holy Ghost. And as a result, he was more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. As a result, his faith overcame the world. As a result, the devil was pulverized, destroyed, went away in the wind, and can never return to that believer's house because he's so full of you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, now with the authority that's been released, Father, we put Bob Kufler and Sally before you, God. And Lord, I thank you that sickness is finished and health is perpetuating. Lord, we pray forever right now. Lord, oh, we pray for you and your family. We curse COVID. And I tell you what, I don't care what they say your results are. The next test you take will be negative, but what's going to be more powerful is that you're going to sit here and say, for us to have this, I have no symptoms and no signs because you're released from that in Jesus' name. Candace Keller, if you got the power to go all over the countryside on vacation, you're not going to come back to your homeland right here in Kenton and be oppressed of the devil. Now, God, I curse this bad cold. I curse this sickness. I curse anything that's trying to come against her. And right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare that even right now, it starts to lift and she feels better. And God, I pray blessing over her, Jim, and their whole family, Father. Let them all walk in the joy and the power of the Lord. And God, right now, I speak over Judy. Oh, yeah. We curse, God, this mask. We curse the doctor's diagnosis. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that any procedure she undergoes, God, will completely resolve the issue because it's not going to be the procedure that works. It's going to be the blood cursing cancer, renewing, healing, and bringing her to the fullness of health. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, someone say amen. I feel like, oh, that's going to be Sunday. I want to take a couple days to just bathe in it. But we were at New Hope today with Pastor Jason Manns. You know, his dad pastored 8 years before him. Now he's been doing it 13 years. That's 21 years. That's three times of rest and 12. 21, three portions of rest and completion. So on Sunday, we're going to lift up New Hope, and we're all going to come together as a church, and I'm going to get in the middle, and we're going to pray for them because they're on the north. We're down here on the south, and I tell you, from the north, south, east, and west, this city belongs to God. Hey, I need someone who's real good with numbers. Shalim. Could you please, kind sir, this weekend or by Sunday, could you bring me a piece of paper that shows what they say the population of Kenton is, then Hardin County, then go out all the regions, all the way out to Marysville or Marion, up towards Findlay area, and then come back over here to, Yep. And just get our population and just build those populations and say, by you get to this region,
Tell me how many people. Can you do that? Not only can you, you'd like to do something like that, huh? Because that's right up your alley, isn't it? Praise God. Okay, listen to this. If anybody in here needs prayer, you just see me, because we're going to take about 5-minute break. And then anybody who can, if you don't have to rush out, this is our dear friend Doug Warren and his beautiful, beautiful bride-to-be. And we're about to galvanize and solidify their marriage, and it's just going to be a great blessing, okay? So if you could just give us a few minutes. Somebody take my pool. I'll do it. Okay. Yeah, amen. You're dismissed.